There was a discussion about quantum physics and Dharma, and maybe Tom can just introduce the topic a little more.
First of all, I have to say that I don't know much about quantum physics except for the name, but I think it's very popular among the people who love science. And I think Cindy said something like she studied quantum physics and she found that there's a lot of things in common with the Buddha's teaching, because in quantum physics, they also talked about waves and particles and that everything arises and falls away and there's no one there. So that is very similar to the Dharma. I said that, but according to my understanding, science studies the concepts and the Buddha's teaching is about realities. But I would like to hear more your input about this.
In brief, when we think about science, quantum physics or any kind of science or any other subject, actually it is the world of concepts. So it's thinking about concepts. So it cannot be the understanding, the direct understanding of realities. For example, nothing is known about cheetah now or chetasikas now. And what is known about rupas is actually thinking about the concept of elements. It's not the direct understanding of rupas, but maybe Ajahn can say more.
I think that no one can understand whatever appears as the best as the Buddha. That's why even the scientists just know about that which appears, but no understanding about what is there in truth, in the absolute truth. For example, who is experiencing such idea then, and what's going on from moment to moment cannot be known by any other science.
That's absolutely true, but I think what people like us who study and learn something about quantum physics or whatever, the closer we see science coming to what the Buddha taught, it's not the same at all, but it's closer to. For instance, they discover newer and newer particles in science that may be closer to what the Buddha taught as rupa. Okay, so that's what that's the only thing that they're trying to show, that the science is coming closer and closer to what the Buddha taught.
The Buddha's teachings is understood by only Pandya, which arises to know what appears now. So it's not a matter of analyzing objects as science does, breaks them down from one concept to the next, to the next, to the next. For example, when I heard the first time about Kalapas, and for a long time after that, I would still imagine in terms of what I knew means in science, as, you know, atoms or subatoms or whatever. Kalapas are the group of rupas. You can think of them as rupas that must arise together, different rupas that must arise together, the basic elements that one cannot do with the other, without the other. Or you can think, like in science, that they are the smallest particles that can ever break down to. But the understanding of Kalapas, I hope you understand that by now, is not by looking through a electron microscope or analyzing what might be, but it's through understanding, say, hardness. Hardness is one absolute reality, a material reality. Now, this hardness and the temperature that we sometimes touch, this has a relationship This is what is understood by Panya. The relationship between hardness and heat and the water of the four great primary elements, without having, not by way of analyzing, looking at a thing and trying to go deep inside what they're made up of, but by experience. So a kalapa can be understood even by just understanding what appears, depending on the level of understanding. So that's very different. Whereas in science, you have to accept one concept and another and another and another and break them down into more concepts, which in the end has nothing to do with what appears. Just a lot of thinking.
The point, Betty, is that however developed the scientific idea is, however precise, it will never ever come closer to the understanding of Dharma. But it's no closer than any other religion or philosophy or academic study, because it never comes closer to beginning to understand reality at this moment.
But reality being what it is, for example, a kalapa, one kalapa is separated from another kalapa by space. So in experience, in conventional experience as in science, analyzing things, they do come to a point where they realize that matter is not solid, but there's space around, right? So that's not the understanding of the element of space as in akasa, in what the Dhamma is taught. But because there is akasa that you observe in conventional experience, in everyday experience, that there is this reality, but not with understanding, but because the way things are like that, that it just manifests itself. Space is real, that's why you experience what you call space.
But the aim is completely different, because the Buddha taught about kalapas just to help us that nothing can be controlled by itself and only arise because of conditions. And that makes all the difference. And for science, they don't have that aim at all.
Therefore, the science can never lead to detachment. And therefore, the dukkha, the Four Noble Truths, the reason of dukkha is attachment. Science can never lead to detachment.
In fact, Vincent, would you not say that science is study with attachment and ignorance, whereas Dhamma is understanding and detachment?
Yesterday there was quite a lot of discussion about Sanya Ajahn, and this morning at second breakfast, Tao also asked some questions about Sanya, and Nina and I were discussing it. When I was talking to Nana, I mentioned that without Sanya there's no thinking, and Sanya is very important, and it's a khanda. Asukin mentioned the many conditions, but we were talking about Sanya and thinking. And then there was some concern about accumulations and about different conditions. So I think it's good to discuss a little more about how Sanya accumulates at moments of kusala and akusala, and how it can be conditioned by anything in the past, memory of anything in the past, for example, memory at the moment of seeing, memory at the moment of hearing. Would you talk a little more about the importance of Sanya, why Sanya is a khanda, and why it's important to understand that without Sanya there's no thinking at all?
There is Sanya, but who knows Sanya? See, that's why we better talk about realities just a little at a time, to remind that now realities are unknown. That's why we talk just about one reality, in order to get closer to understand it as it is. For example, we live in the world of Sanya, right? So who knows? But it's there all the time. Because at moment when citta experiences an object, sanya is there with it. Each moment. So when citta experience visible object, sanya marks the visible object. When later there's thinking about that, sanya marks the object all the time. It conditions thinking because there are uncountable sanyas from eons and eons up to now. But which one will be conditioned for thinking? See? Even there's no hearing, there can be thinking. And after seeing, there must be thinking. After hearing, there must be thinking. So usually, one is in the world of thinking and sanya and experiences. The citta never stops arising and falling away by conditions. That's why it conditions many different moments like now and in a dream, see. What is a different citta all the time arising with the 7 chetasikas and other chetasika unknown? That's why in order to understand that actually there's no one at all, they are only different dhammas. They cannot be the same at all. For example, now citta experiences. Does sanya appear? But it's there. That's why when we talk about sanya, before it can be conditioned to understand sanya as sanya, it takes quite a long time. For example, how can we know different people, see, without sanya? It's impossible, because citta is that which only experiences whatever appears, that's all. That's the function of citta. But sanya marks each moment, that's all. Just hear again, and again and again, no expectation what will moment of understanding little by little about that which appears then. No expectation because no one knows what would be the next moment. Just understand, that's all. Even the sanya now is not known directly yet, but as soon as there is the memory of anything, it's sanya, not I.
Ajahn, sanya also plays a role in recognizing what has been experienced.
Whatever citta experiences.
Yes. It marks it and then there can be recognition because of the previous marking. Does the previous sanya that has marked objects before and seen them in a certain way, does that have an impact on how things are recognized now? For example, if there's been a lot of, as for all of us, wrong view in the past, and sanya marking things in the way that they are understood or misunderstood, or recognizing things in a certain way, does that habit of sanya have an impact on how it recognizes things in the present?
Can you remember when you were young?
Can I? Well, sometimes I do, and I don't want to, thank you, but if I want to, no, but sometimes it happens.
Okay. Everything or only something?
Just very See, even unrelated snippets.
Because it's not the same sanya, different sanya, and it is not sanya which remembers when there is thinking. It's the vitakka, different reality, which thinks. Only conditioned by whatever sanya is there to think about. That's all.
Any more questions on sanya tsao or everything clear now? One question or point that came up in my discussion with tsao is that sometimes when there's not, for example, not recognizing someone's with or not recognizing what the menu says, it seems it must be with ignorance. And we think of ignorance as being a kind of conventional ignorance of not knowing something, not knowing about the Chinese writing or not knowing the names or forgetting about the faces. actually at each moment Sanya is marking and remembering whatever citta is experiences. So if the citta is kusala, if there is a moment of kindness or generosity or understanding, regardless of whether one knows the right name or not, Sanya is kusala at that moment. And when there is attachment, aversion, ignorance, when citta is experiencing in an unwholesome way, then the sanya is unwholesome. But we cannot just say that because we can't read the Chinese writing or can't recognize who and who, that it is ignorance and sanya of ignorance. So it depends on whether the citta is kusala or akusala. When it's kusala, the sanya is kusala. When it's akusala, the sanya is akusala. When it's vipaka, the result of past karma, like at a moment of seeing or hearing, then the sanya is vipaka, experiencing exactly the same object as the citta at each moment.
But in fact, when we mistake the meaning of ignorance as in not knowing the language, the signs and all that, at that time it is ignorance, because it's not understanding what appears. It's ignorant of what appears.
I would like to have a little bit more, to hear a little bit more about the role of sanya and vitaka, because Ajahn just mentioned shortly, but I feel I need to know more about that.
It sounds like one would like to understand the distinction between the citta and the passa, cetasika right now. Like sanya, when it does not appear, who can know it? Only when it appears, and no selection at all. Because you see that usually in Adair, who knows about attachment or lobha? Even thinking about that, say, is lobha. And try very hard to know it, it's also attachment. So it's there all the time, the master.
No, really.
Because the best thing is understanding what is heard little by little. When there is something like, what's that? Oh, I'd like to understand that. It's not the moment of understanding that which is heard. It's like, what about Chivitinroya now? If you ask about Vitakka and Sanya, but we can know about realities as much as we can. For instance, like, Sanya arises with each citta, that's all. But it depends on takka, whether it thinks about what. Because sanya remembers everything. But now, when you think of something, sanya remembers it. Otherwise, I cannot be thinking of that. But it depends on thinking itself, not the sanya. It depends on vitakka. That's why after seeing consciousness fallen away, who knows that takka, vitakka cetasika is there immediately, because it cannot experience visible object as seeing does. This is the difference. So there must be pavanga before the panchatvaravachana, the advertent consciousness, adverting consciousness. Only one moment, who knows? And if we would like to know, then it's attachment, just want to. But from hearing, nobody can know that, because citta appears by nimitta, the succession of the arising and falling away, as something different, like this and that. But they are still appear as nimitta only. So even right now, pavanga is not known. And panchatvara vachana, the adverting consciousness before seeing only one moment, cannot be known. And seeing only one moment, it's different from panchatvara vachana before seeing and the citta after seeing. But they experience the same object. See, this is the way to letting go the idea of self, little by little. What is the best thing to understand is to understand the reality now, until there is no self. because actually nothing can be taken for self at all.
So, Achan, with regard to dhammas such as sanya and pasa, what we can understand is at the intellectual level.
Like what appears now, it's conditioned by pasa, whether it's sound or sight or whatever. Mm. No selection, but it depends on pasa. Mm.
So it's also important to note that this is all that can be understood.
Mm-hmm. And before all, or any reality like cetasika or citta of different kind can appear, there must be the understanding of the distinction between that which experience and that which cannot experience it. At the beginning, no matter its attachment, aversion, or whatever, it's that which experiences only, not I, who am such and such moment.
So you're saying before we can know the particular kinds of nama dhamma, there must be the general understanding that it's nama.
Because even now, even we talk about that which is seen and the seeing, it's very difficult to understand precisely, directly. But there must be the understanding that that which is seen cannot be the seeing. So the seeing now is not that which appears. So in the day, citta, citta-sika arises all the time from moment to moment. But they do not appear, only that which is experienced is appearing all the time. And one clings to that so much. There is clinging to that which experiences well, but it does not appear.
So apparently when we listen to Dhamma, we also have clinging to that which does not appear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because realities arise and fall away in split seconds, so very fast. Just close one's eyes, everything which is seen is gone. But how come many, many things appearing, just open one's eyes? Only one citta cannot make it, but so many cittas, uncountable.
So when you are talking about vitaka and sanya, and that, for example, when we suddenly remember something in the past, is it because of vitaka touch?
Think about that.
And sanya?
Because sanya remembers it.
Okay.
Otherwise, one cannot think about that which sanya doesn't remember. But sanya remembers everything.
Mm.
But it depends on vitaka, which one it thinks about.
Okay.
I can understand that for now I can recognize John because of having experience in the past.
Before there can be John, how many moments
right,
of
many, many,
seeing?
Many. But what's how is it in a dream? Out of the blue, you remember something.
Like now.
But this is some experience now.
That's
certain
why,
sandhya now.
Yeah, but that's why we can tell what is a dream and what is not a dream. Because thinking cannot be other thing else. It cannot be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, or touching. It's just thinking. But thinking of different things at different time, that's all. Without experience anything, you can think.
Yes,
And is that a dream or not a dream? At this moment.
Thinking now is like a dream.
It is thinking, but it's different.
Different because in between there's seeing, there's hearing.
There must be something appears, so you know that
right.
It's not a dream.
But the thinking itself is the same as in a dream.
Because it thinks, that's all.
And because even now, there's not just thinking about things that are being directly experienced, there's also trains of thought about yesterday, tomorrow, breakfast.
That's why I'm wondering, what triggers that? I mean, like in a dream, out of the blue you start thinking.
Or we can say that the whole life is a dream.
Can we say that Ajahn mentioned about sanya condition, vitaka, and can we say the hetu also? You were asking about trigger, what to be thought about. Can we say the hetu play a more active role than the sanya?
Instead,
it's more passive.
Thinking about that, what is there in a moment?
Right.
At moment of thinking, there must be vitaka and sanya and pasa and many jetasikas.
Right. Sukhin's question is also interesting to me about what to be thought about, what triggered that thought to be thought about, because the concept cannot be the conditioned result. So what triggered that?
In a dream?
Like
what
now?
Is the object?
Yeah. In a concept, idea?
So citta experience concept.
Right. But Sukhin's question is about then why concept A and not concept B? What trigger its concept and not concept in a dream?
But why in a dream? Why not now?
Yeah, also now, yeah, sure.
Because I was going to say, it's not so much that the dreams happen out of the blue. It's thinking all the time. The exception is the deep sleep when there's no dream, no thinking. So always thinking about something or another.
So you're saying it's part of life that there is thinking. Right.
And it's gone all the time, never to return.
And about sanya, is there any difference in the way that sanya marks and remember the objects? Otherwise, why sometimes when people just heard a person's name for the first time, some can remember but some cannot? Is it what conditions for that?
I think it's the same as Vincent's question. So many conditions are at work, so the sanya accumulates. So it depends on, for example, at this moment, maybe you don't think of anyone and then see a picture that is familiar or looks like that person and conditions to think about that person. So because every sanya has been accumulated from the past, so it depends on many different conditions what sanya will mark and remember at that moment, depending on interest at that moment, depending on lobha, depending on the visible object just seen, depending on the sound just heard, because by natural decisive support condition, anything can be a condition for sanya to arise now.
Yes, I think interest and habit plays a big role, because some people are good at recognizing faces and others are good at remembering names, and it's just different accumulated tendencies or habits or skills.
So why usually old age can easy to forget things than young age?
It's like because sanya is still marking an object but not marking that one, the name marking other objects. And like when looking at the Chinese signs, we can say generally, oh, ignorance, but at that moment of looking, so many different cheetahs, there can be understanding with kusala cheetah even at that moment, because just a moment of visible object that's seen, a moment of thinking of ignorance, and then there can be understanding any time at all, even when with our old age, like tiny tums, when we're becoming more forgetful, there can be understanding even then, because it's still just thinking, still just attachment, still reality is appearing.
What about the child who was born different from the ordinary one in the hospital? See, what about sanya? Not all yet.
And I think the memory thing is just part of the cycle of life. The Buddha spoke about old age, sickness and death as the inevitable aspect of life in samsara. And old age, I think it doesn't just mean physical deterioration, but it includes all these other quirks of habit and so forth that are associated with getting old.
Can you explain further about the case of some in Buddha time, some people before enlightenment, they cannot remember anything. Can you explain further about this case?
Like, for example, the lady who was quite mad and arrived naked in front of the Buddha and was so disturbed and couldn't listen to anything that he said in the beginning. So because Sanya is still working at each moment, but it's thinking of other things, thinking of her lost child, about her husband, about... So it depends what Sanya is marking and remembering at that moment, what concept is thought about. So we talk about Sanya as being essential for thinking, but many other factors too. But like in the suttas, the Buddha would just talk about one factor, like pasa, for seeing, or no need to talk about everything at every moment. But we know that Sanya is still marking and remembering at each moment, even if it's not the object one would like to be remembered. Like now during the discussion, some people daydreaming, thinking about the bus ride or the lunch or the flowers in the garden. Just very natural, because it's anatta. So who can decide or determine what Sanya will mark or what thinking will think about at this moment? Even though no one is mad now, everyone has come to listen to the Dhamma discussion, but thinking about so many different things by accumulations and habits and interest this moment.
So I'm concerned that why the most reason why the Sanya become one of the five khanda.
Is it not important?
If there was no Sanya, would you be here? I mean, would you do anything? Anything be done?
Because I think that is one of the object of the attachment. It's the object of attachment. So it's one of the five khanda. Is it correct? No.
Because you see that not only Sanya, all five khandas are object of attachment. But what is more important, that, for example, feeling, is it not important?
It's important, okay. Yes.
So Buddha just pointed out the most important, that one cling very much.
Actually, there's so much attachment to feeling, so much all day. We're so concerned about pleasant feeling and having pleasant feeling on account of what's seen, heard, smelt, tasted and touched. And it is the Sanya that marks and remembers what will condition pleasant feeling or what is the different feeling at each moment. And it is because of Sanya that there is thinking of different objects, looking for different visible objects, looking for particular sounds. If there was no remembering what is a condition for pleasant feeling, there would be no looking for the pleasant sights or having fun or anything. So Sanya affects every aspect of life. Without Sanya, there couldn't be any understanding at all now.
Also, I think it helps to keep a perspective on this classification, because there are many different classifications of dhammas, and each classification will highlight different realities for consideration in the khandhas. Certain things are selected, and just like when the Buddha was teaching about development of the path, sometime he emphasize awareness, for example. Other times he spoke about effort, and other times he spoke about concentration, but always the same message, just different approaches to it.
And Ajahn, we know that every conditioned dharma has nimitta, but yesterday I mentioned that suttas refer to Sanya as nimitta maker. Why is this? Sanya as the nimitta maker.
Without Sanya, who's me?
Right, okay. Yeah, because so it shows the importance of thinking, because without Sanya, no idea who's who or what's what or anything.
But it's Sanya just marks the nimitta. Sanya just marks the nimitta, it doesn't make the nimitta.
marks and remember.
Bring is making, is that what?
Of marking, it remembers.
And why the word makers, nimitta maker? It makes nimitta, that's what Sarah's saying.
Can we say other thing like ignorance as well? But there is sanya all the time. But who knows that it's wrong sanya, atta sanya, see?
So in relation to the fact that it's all the time atta sanya, so it's because of sanya.
Yeah. Couldn't be thinking in the wrong way, thinking about people, taking them for beings at all without sanya. This is why it's called the nimitta-me.
Yesterday, Nina also mentioned about another kind of nimitta in samatha. So that nimitta is nimitta of, because the object of samatha is concept, so.
Like a mental image you get of the meditation subject.
So it's a different meaning. It doesn't refer to the nimitta of something that arises and falls away, but it's just like it becomes a mental image.
Yeah, it's different from the nimitta of each of the five khandhas.
Right.
Different aspect.
Same. Because as in the reality rising and falling away so fast that it creates a nimitta, in the case of the mata concentrating on one concept so often that it creates an after image automatically.
Mm-hmm. Which is the same than the real one.
And if there was not any hardness, for example, patavi or earth element, if there was not any experience of hardness, then there couldn't be the nimitta of hardness, the sign of hardness as object of samatha.
But the most of the meditation subjects of samatha are not realities. Some are, but the most are concepts. So that is the difference here in samatha.
Ajahn just mentioned about remembering and marking of sanya, so it means two functions. So can we say that the sanya do the two functions at the same time, or there's a moment it do the function of remembering, or another moment that do the function of marking?
What about understanding? It understands and it eliminates ignorance at the same time.
Sorry, not understand.
Since you brought this up, I'm thinking that the sanya that arises with seeing, hearing and all is different from the sanya that arises with thinking, which has vitakka. So the remembering, I think, is with the help of vitakka. I'm not sure. But
what Ajahn was saying very simply was just as Panya understands and at exactly the same moment eliminates ignorance at that moment. So sanya at the moment of marking also remembers at that same moment, just like now.
You were just explaining to me the question of nimitta and sanya, and I did not quite get the beginning, and you were just about to explain. We do that.
Just another question, because I remember yesterday Ajahn mentioned about wholesome and unwholesome is the only thing that accumulated. But what about the skills, like the footballer, some is great, some is normal. So it should be something accumulated too, right?
What about the three characteristics of all conditioned realities in one reality? Three characteristics.
Okay. Sorry again.
What about the three characteristics of a reality, a conditioned reality? You just talk about
okay,
the two.
The same.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Known
one at a time, but it still performs. It has the three characteristics. So sanya can be known as marking or remembering, but it's still performing both at the same time, marking and remembering. Yeah.
Yeah, again, the question is, Ajahn said wholesome and unwholesome with the only things that accumulated. What about the skills, like footballer? Some is good because maybe he already accumulated something.
Does not accumulate.
Anything that is not wholesome and unwholesome.
What about kriya citta?
I don't know.
Also accumulate.
Okay.
Yeah.
The skill of the footballer actually is a very long story about so many different dharmas involved, like at the moment of thinking of kicking the ball, that thinking at that moment is accumulated. Why think of kicking the ball to the right and not to the left? Because that thinking and the sanya have been accumulated at that moment, that think in that particular way, and the thinking conditions the rupas through the body sense in such a way, and then so many conditions for those rupas, so many, many different realities. If we don't talk about dharmas or realities, if we just say, oh, well, why did you decide to come on this holiday to Taiwan or this or that, then we never really can understand what is the conditioned nature of dharma. So many, but we know that that kind of thinking that conditions that kicking at that moment has been accumulated. So if there's thinking of kicking in that way so many, many times, becomes a habit and it becomes more skillful depending on other factors.
Also, thinking is kusala or akusala, so it's clear that's accumulated. But the kriya citta, I did not quite. Depends on the one of the arahat, yeah, not in the process of citta.
The point is that he said that only kusala and akusala cittas, wholesome and unwholesome cittas, accumulate. So Ajahn said, what about kriya citta? So in the case of the arahat, the one who's fully enlightened, for those who don't know the word, then those cittas also accumulate.
Yes. And to come back to the point of nidita and sanya. Yeah?
I think it was just because of sanya being so important and conditioning the thinking and having any idea who is who or having any idea what is arahat or anything else. And Ajahn mentioned atasanya. That's because of sanya, there's the idea of someone, something all the time. And so this is what is meant by nimitta maker.
Nimitta?
Maker.
Oh, I see. That.
Maker. Nimitta like in the text maker. It talks about nimitta maker.
I see. Nina? Are you talking about sanya or you're talking about sanya nimitta?
We are talking about sanya.
And what about sanya nimitta?
Nimitta of sanya, because it's sanya arising and falling away. So there is just a sign of sanya that can be known. Yes.
And what is the object of sanya as nimitta?
As nimitta.
It can be anything, which is the object.
It can be a reality or a concept of sanya.
When we talk about nimitta, that's why there are not just one kind of nimitta, because when it is the nimitta of reality, it's the nimitta of that which arises and falls away in split seconds. But in a dream, what is nimitta? Is there nimitta in a dream? So what is that nimitta? Yes, see, different. And when we talk about the nimitta of the those who practice jhana, different again, not like a dream. So there are many meanings of.
In a dream, and I missed that part. Sorry, in a dream. So what?
Because in a dream, there's thinking about concepts.
So
it has to be
nimitta.
It has to be nimitta of concept that is experienced.
Nimitta of
sanya is marking at each moment, even in a dream.
Right.
And because it's only concepts are experienced, so actually what is experienced is nimitta of concept. The sign of the concept. No. That's why she said it's a different kind of nimitta.
In the context of nimitta of concept, what does nimitta actually mean there?
Which appears. If there's nothing, can anything appear?
So the concept could appear as a visual image or sound or something.
Yeah, when we talk about
audible image.
Realities, can one moment of citta be the object? Just one. So it appears as nimitta of whatever it is, arising and falling away. Right. Now, that is one kind of nimitta. And in a dream.
Right, so it seems to be continuous.
The object cannot be
but
the sign of realities.
No, but in fact they are.
Because it's only the concept, only.
One moment at a time, but appearing as a continuous.
Because the citta itself is citta nimitta, vinyana nimitta, rupa nimitta, everything arises and falls away so very fast. What is left is only the sign of it, whether it is seeing or hearing, thinking. So it's much more than we think.
I find that more difficult because a concept does not arise and fall away.
No.
So I find that harder to understand.
That's why we talk about the nimitta. Nimitta, vinyana nimitta, what is meant. What appears as vinyana is not only one single moment.
No, that's clear, But when it is in a dream.
Okay, we have to think one by one.
Yeah.
It's clear now. And in a dream, what is the object of citta while one is dreaming, while there is dreaming?
That's a concept.
Concept, not like now.
Right.
The object is concept.
Concept.
And the object, which is nimitta of those who practice or develop jhana, is different.
That I understand.
Because it's not a dream.
Yeah. In jhana, I understand it's a mental image, But when you say it's in a dream and we are thinking of concept, that is harder to understand for me, because I think there is still the nimitta of citta, which is thinking.
Certainly. When we talk about vinyana nimitta, it is the nimitta of vinyana.
Yeah, right.
But when we talk about the object of citta, it is nimitta.
Yeah.
When it's concept, like in a dream.
In a dream, yeah.
We can dream about anything.
Yeah.
No arising and falling away of that which is thought about. Thinking about.
I had a dream about a dog.
I'm going to say, thinking about hey hey.
Yeah, well, not a dirty dog.
I thought about hey hey many times. Yeah. Now, she's there. Hey hey. When I saw. Nana, I thought there must be hey hey. That's wrong, because it's only thinking, it's a concept,
it's a
not
concept.
Reality.
Yeah, yes, yes.
The meaning of nimitta is also that whatever appears because of arising and falling away of many chittas?
Can we say that the Nibbana is the sign or image?
Yes, that's one meaning. That would apply to all.
So we go from meaning to meaning, like now. Nimitta of seeing.
Yes.
Actually, it's always the meaning. It's always sign or image. Mm.
That's the one meaning. But it's not the same thing to say that...
It's always nimitta. It's always the sign or image. But it depends what it's the sign or image of. But that's the meaning of nimitta.
Okay.
It's always sign or image.
One is... In the case
one
of
is sign or image
reality,
of reality.
And the other is sign and image of concept.
Exactly, but it's always sign or image.
So here, image can be reality and concept. Image here.
Like, for example, in a dream, there it's concept that is experience. Is the, so it's the sign of that concept.
Right.
But if there hadn't been the experiencing of realities, there couldn't be that concept of... It couldn't be the concept or the dream about hey if there hadn't been the seeing of many visible objects
right.
before.
Right.
But it's concept now. So the it is the nimitta of that concept based on realities experienced before.
Yes.
There's no hey there. So what about hey when one think about it?
Concept based on the nimitta of prior realities. But concept is not real, cannot be the result or condition. So concept cannot have a sign, right?
Dream is a reality right now as object.
In a dream, the sign of reality. In a dream, only the nimitta.
But aren't there realities there, like now? To condition the sign or nimitta.
Yes.
In a dream.
Oh, in a dream. Still chitta, right? They're still thinking.
We're talking about the object.
Okay. No, object cannot be.
So it's different from the nimitta of chitta, chetasika, rupa.
Right.
It's just different. Mm-hmm. But it's still nimitta. Mm-hmm.
So that's another definition of nimitta.
No, it's... So I was saying there's only one meaning of nimitta, means sign.
Of reality.
But then, no, it doesn't only be, nimitta does not apply only to realities. But when applied to realities, it's one kind of nimitta. When applied to of jhana objects, objects of jhana is another kind of nimitta. When applied to concepts is another kind of nimitta. But the point is that it's just... The same thing, it's just a sign. In the case of concepts, as in a dream, it's a sign of concepts. It's not a sign of realities.
So yesterday, Tai, he asked the question whether there's any nimitta of concept. So actually...
It depends. It sounds... Because it depends on the understanding. Mm. Some people think that even concepts have signs like realities, but they don't have. But it's not like seeing.
Different way.
It's a different way.
So earlier Achan said that the mental image or nimitta in a dream is different from the mental image in the case of samatha object of samatha. Could you please tell more about this? Because I understand it should be different in the citta that experience it, but the object I tend to think that it's the same.
How can there be object of samatha?
Well, let's say the earth kasina.
Yes, before it become the nimitta,
there should be seeing it repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
until it is nimitta.
Until it becomes like in the mental image,
yeah.
A sign. Yeah. It appears. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Until even when one's eyes are closed and there's no seeing of that visible object or that disc or image, still there is the nimitta of that image that is experienced by citta at that moment, clearly.
Still, the...
It is
thinking.
It is thinking at that moment. We're not talking about jhana cheetahs. It is thinking of that image,
but that image appears very clearly to those Kusala cheetahs.
So when we think about Hei Hei, the the mental image of Hei Hei, I have seen Hei Hei repeatedly many times, so the mental image of Hei Hei appears clearly.
The image.
Not as clearly. So I would say the difference is in the intensity or the degrees of clarity, but it's still the image in terms of object is still the same.
In the case of the samatha development, it has to be learned. Mm-hmm. There are many conditions for that image to appear, but in the case of Hei Hei, once you've seen Hei Hei, you can have an image.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be some differences because of the different conditions necessary.
Okay, I agree.
You can also see the difference as in right now, you're seeing, and then close your eyes. Suppose you close your eyes and you still, when you close, immediately there's still a vague image of me, right? That's not thinking, but that's like the impression. Mm. So that's also nimitta.
Yes.
And another big difference is when it's the image of Hei Hei, attachment is there instantly, but we're talking about the image of hardness or whatever it is that is just like the real hardness that is conditioned because of understanding for calm at that very moment. So completely different.
In samatha, the aim is not to make an image, but the image appears because the particular object has been contemplated in the right way.
No, I totally agree about all that things and just thinking in terms of object. Like it's also something that has been seen before and the mental image appears. So in terms of object, I think that it's the same, but the manner, is it perceived and the aim and everything.
Superficial similarities.
Yes.
Awesome.
The thinking of Hei Hei is like dreaming. It's like the dreaming image of that concept.
Yeah. So there's image of Hei Hei here. So is it a nimitta or is it a concept?
There's no image anywhere except when thinking.
Yeah, it's not. It's inside. Not empty.
It's only because there has been the nimitta of that visible object seen repeatedly that there can be that idea, that concept about that, what was seen, about the nimitta of what was seen. Tiny Tam has, because we don't have a lot of time, and she has a topic she would like to bring up now. Her colleagues are with her about expectations following from a discussion.
Yes, actually I just want to develop further on High's questions about expectation, because I totally agree with your explanation. Even when I reflect on myself, because the moment of understanding is different from the moments of other things, because sometimes I think I understand it. I always try myself to be better, but in fact, I cannot do it. So I totally understand about conditions. Because it doesn't mean that when the more you study Dhamma, maybe you will improve in a better way. But at the same time, I think there must be something to know that, because even for myself, I think when the more I study Dhamma, the more I am getting better. And also if it is not that way, so for example, like Achan, it's like if Achan speak Dhamma here, but maybe in her daily life and she behave totally different, or maybe speak harsh word or easy to get angry, for example. So it's not persuasive for other people to follow her. So there's still something that must be different, right?
So the understanding has to work its way and begin to influence one's life, like when one
travels with Dhamma friends, it may be different from traveling with other friends, because even though there's so many attachments and selfie photos and all these other things, still there is the growing understanding of what is kusala, what is akusala, the understanding that dhammas are anatta, so less expectations of others around that they should behave a certain way, so more understanding of others that one's with, this kind of thing. So it works its way. But if someone thinks that, oh, because I study Dhamma, I should never get angry, or I shouldn't be so interested in enjoying the scenery or something, those are expectations which are because of wrong understanding. So it's true, it works its way, but not because of any expectations that who knows what happens next moment. Maybe the truck comes back past and you're angry because you can't hear. Who knows? So anything can arise at any time by conditions. But still, I agree that understanding works its way. Would you say any more about expectations? Or?
Yes, then, no.
Yes, I think yes.
What is expectation?
It's like I'm expecting the answer from Sarah.
It's like, what reality is that?
I think attachment.
Mm-hmm. It's there all the time, unseen. Even right now, anywhere, everywhere.
Expecting Ajahn will behave a certain way, or expecting what is heard will be correct, or expecting this answer or this.
And before that, after seeing has fallen away, only 3 moments after that, there is asava, unknown.
Ajahn, you often remind us that about the present moment, about understanding what appears, yet we are lost in stories all the time, asking questions and expecting answers, explanations. That's just because there's so little panya.
They are all dhammas to be known, even not now, but even it has now, to be known.
I mean, no sense of urgency to understand what appears, and getting lost in stories.
That is a reality. No matter what.
And all those different tendencies or interests or likes or whatever has to be understood when it arises. So if it's expectation that it should be another way, it hinders the development of understanding.
And then when you say that understanding when operating its own way, and then there's expectation in the way I looking at that.
And that's because you heard the Dhamma and had some understanding. You know Lopa a little better than before.
And how can there be less expectation?
Understanding?
Only.
And disappointment when it's not the way one expects.
And no expectation about not having expectation.
About the others that you talk to, Hai and Mai, do there any questions about expectations?
Does concept arise and far away? No, so how come there are nimitta or concept?
This is a new subject for me, so let me say what I think the answer might be. like in a dream, there are concepts, only concepts. One concept for each moment of consciousness. And the moment of consciousness arises and falls away very rapidly. But the dream appears as a continuous image. The only way it can do that is because the single moments of conceptualization of concepts, it's an image of them that's seen that ties them together. Just like a movie is a single frame, and the dream appears as a continuous story.
I think it's a concept of thinking. It's not concept of nimitta of thinking. It's not nimitta of
but
concept.
Thinking is a jitta.
Yeah.
It's not a jitta that is being seen. It's the object of the jitta.
But
that is being thought about.
But concept it does. I think a nimitta is a arising and falling away of something.
When we talk about nimitta of, say, a visible object, that is correct.
Yeah.
It's the image created by the rapid rising and falling away. But as we've been saying,
concept.
We have to think of nimitta in different contexts, and it's different in each context.
Nimitta is actually sign or image. So if we're talking about reality, it's the sign or image of that reality. Rich arises and falls away in rapid succession. But, for example, even when thinking about people and fruit and the discussion now, it's not the nimitta of reality that's arising and falling away because it's concept that is thought about, or in a dream, it's only concept, no realities at all that are the objects of citta, no sensed or experiences. So it has to be the nimitta of concept. And like in the development of samatha, when it's the image and it's the nimitta, so again, it's not the nimitta of the rising and falling away reality, but it's the sign that is left behind because of the degree of concentration and calm at that moment. So it always means sign or image, but it depends on the context. And actually in the text we read about different kinds of nimitta. The topic that a couple of people asked to have brought up again, Pong and Hung and Tam, was yesterday when we were talking about ayatanas, and we were talking about how the different cheetahs in the eye-door process, in each case there is the eye sense, the visible object, the cheetah, and chetasikas, the four ayatanas coming together, even at moments of after seeing Sampatichana, Santirana, and so on. And they are still confused about why Hareyawatu cannot be an ayatana, say, for Sampatichana Chitta or for moments of thinking now, because you said it just arises and falls away in the body, but it's not there at that moment, but they pointed out it is arising and falling away, and without that vatu, then those cheetahs can't arise. So this was the question.
Can the hataya vatu condition see? Can that be the answer?
Hataya vatu cannot condition seeing, and the cheetah after seeing depends on that moment before the seeing.
If that's what it means.
But we can say that the Hareya Watu doesn't condition seeing, but it does condition Sampatichana Chitta by being its Watu or its support, or it conditions the moment of thinking by being its support or Watu.
Can the other Rupa condition seeing?
Apart from eye sense and visible object only.
Can we say, for the case of sampatijana, which arises at the Hadivatu. The Hadivatu is like the person who takes to meet, to meet, because at that time it's the base, the eye base is still the ayatana, not the Hadivatu. So the Hadivatu is like who's giving birth to the sampatijana to go and meet.
She's shaking her head. Like, what about at a moment of thinking, then visible object or eye sense doesn't pass to Hadiyavatu?
Hadiyavatu is not the
ayatana. Eye sense is not ayatana. Hadiyavatu is not ayatana. No rupa is ayatana at that moment. Nothing about passing and meeting.
Can that be known? What can be known now?
What appears. So what's the significance of ayatana? To talk about ayatana, different ayatanas. When in thinking, there are only the manayatana and the tamayatana. Why highlight this fact? Dhammayatana, one is tamayatana, one is manayatana.
To highlight that there cannot be citta arising at this moment without citta seekers. They have to come together to support each other at this moment. Without those citta seekers, and there cannot be citta seekers without citta.
Same with seeing, hearing.
So same as seeing, there has to be a coming together of seeing and citta seekers, but also the visible object and eye sense. These are the main conditions for citta at that moment. And without the eye sense and the seeing, there couldn't be the sampatijana and santirana and other cittas afterwards in the process.
In the case of those sense door processes, there's a rupa that is unique to each sense door process. Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. The base is a rupa that is unique to... Yeah, and visible object, yeah. So those rupas are unique to that particular process, whereas the Hadivatu is common to many.